Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
Let me ask you about crypto. I know you're a crypto enthusiast, and the crypto market has been down, just like the stock market has been down. So a lot of people, you know, have lost money in crypto this year. A lot of people are nervous. A lot of people, you know, it's a lot of issues, security issues. What's your current thoughts on the state of crypto?
Oh, man, that's a heavy one, because I think that crypto will benefit from clear regulation once it comes in, right? I think that a lot of the crypto space a lot of the blockchain space, right, is right now in limbo. The reason I say clear regulation is because you can't really build without fear of knowing whether when you build something successful is going to be attacked later by the SEC because you didn't know that you broke a rule that doesn't exist yet, right? So companies, I believe, that are fearful of putting too much money in this space, and a lot of companies got cash reserves that's sitting on the side right now that they would probably love to employ with some of these ideas, right, to get them some exposure in some of these companies, but they don't want to later have that money tied up into a legal battle. Right. So I think that clear regulation will allow people to easily communicate, like, yo, This is an asset class. If you invest in this, maybe 5 to 10 years, you'll be solid to hold. But there's so many security concerns and legal concerns that a person can't assuage a person away because nobody knows what the rules are completely, right? And I think that these rules are not going to be beneficial to the crypto space, but I'm saying that as far as clarity on knowing where I can invest in, what I can build, what I can do, you can't go 100 miles per hour until you know the speed limit. Like if they say it's 100 miles per hour, I can go. They say it's 60. Okay, we're going to put this on 60. But you can't just hop in a car and just put your pedal to the metal and just go crazy. You feel me? So I think that crypto has a long battle ahead of it. I think that we can see crypto going, you know, much lower, right?
Before, how much lower you think?
Man, come on.
Let's spice it up. Come on, might clip this up.
Listen, so
what Bitcoin going?
I can see Bitcoin going to 8, then possibly going to 3. You understand me? Those are the two. Those are the two from what I see. You know, it's funny because I'm not a chart guy, but when I started looking at charts recently and I was looking at it, I said, okay, I see this shit. This nigga up.
This is not why you are here.
I see what Brother Ian been seeing, man. I see what he's been seeing because it is a very real possibility. At the same time, I don't think this is a market to be afraid of. I think this is the market to invest in, yeah. Right? I think that if you were to have fear, it should be at when Bitcoin is at 66. Now when Bitcoin is at 19, now when Bitcoin is at 8, now when Bitcoin is at 3K, yeah. That's when you go all in, you triple, you double down. You understand?
If it gets to 8, boy, I'm going to pile in heavy.
8 is my sweet spot. If it gets to 3, then I want to sell everything I can to buy it. You know, that's it. Like the Rolexes, the gold, everything got to go.
Yeah, we officially call that loading the boat.
Yeah, that's the super low right there. But 8 is a very great sweet spot.
19 keys predicts Bitcoin will go to 8,000. That's the headline. Mike, clip this up. This is going to go crazy. Hollywood Unlocked going to be all in the comments.
Now, our take, though, is with Ripple and them, right? Ripple, you can't tell nothing happened until, because right now it's in the buy the rumor phase, right? So Ripple is up almost 80%, you know, within this, from the third quarter, I think it's at, what, like 48 right now. It had went down to around like 33, 31. It had went up to around 56. So a lot of people have been making money on Ripple, right? XRP. And right now their legal situation is at this point where both sides have talked to the judge and say that we need to find a review of the case. You understand me? They said that it should be enough information on both sides that you should be able to come to a settlement on whatever it's going to be. So the Ripple community is seeing that as a possible win. And I'm seeing Ripple actually expand right now during these times to build more confidence into that coin. So if Ripple was to win, Ripple rips away. And Ripple can take over certain market caps because even during this legal battle, the court of Ripple has remained stronger than ever. I mean, we've seen it strong during recession, during world economic plights, during inflation, during crypto winter. Ripple actually makes no sense whatsoever. Now, if they lose the case, you see Ripple going down to a penny. But if they win,
that would be scary. Yeah.
Ripple gets disrespectful to the market.
Yeah, it's gonna be a joyous occasion if they win.
Even the way it says precedence.
Yeah, when you was talking about Bitcoin, I started thinking about, is the same precedent set for NFTs? Because I'm thinking at a point now, I think that the sales are down by 90 plus percent or something like that. Is this the time, if we're in that space, should we be getting super creative? We've seen the influx, we've seen it be oversaturated. Obviously, it's scaled down now. Is this the point where we should be creative and seeing where we can put utility cases in for the future? What's your thoughts on NFTs?
Great question. Y'all remember when we first talked about
NFTs? Absolutely.
Market Mondays. Yep. I told people, I don't care about the market. It's about the creative use case of it, right? Because the technology is the value. This is what everybody was getting wrong. And everybody was looking at trading value. NFTs were never supposed to be a commodity that was about trading. Right. It popped up because of the art use that people was able to find it. And everybody seen people make money. So, of course, man, if there's money to be made, people go jump into it. But yeah. NFTs were never made to be traded commodities that go up to 70,000, 100,000. Right. For no reason whatsoever. Right. It was more so about these are now ways to create real digital assets that can be linked to value. right, that people can own, parts of the internet. So what we're seeing now in the market is a slow rollout of the value market of NFTs, which is much better for the specs. If 80% of businesses fail, why wouldn't goddamn 90% of a completely new, unregulated, no value having new businesses? Because that's what I looked at them as.
He said they had no value.
But now, depending on the projects, if a project literally has no value, there's no value, right? If they say just buy this because it's an NFT, that's a no value project. If they say buy this because you are getting an access pass, buy this because it's linked to buying a house, if they say buying this because, you know, this is a ticket to Market Mondays, that's the actual value of the business. What's the value proposition? And most people didn't look at what is the value proposition of this digital item that I buy, right? So that's like me creating a storefront on Shopify and all I have is pictures, right? You're going to buy it and all you get is a receipt. It's nothing else. That's the end of the transaction, right? Nobody's going to buy that. They want a product. They want a service. They want some sort of access that come along with it. So I think this is actually the best time, but I think this is my advice to people. Don't call it an NFT. That's the best. Do not call it an NFT. The best thing you can do to increase, to sell NFTs is do not call it an NFT. If right now I say, listen, I don't do personal consultations, but I said I'm going to bring it back at some point in time, right? Limited. So there's a long list of people that want to get private consultations. Well, if I say, well, you know, I got this ecosystem where if you get one point, you know, you can get a 15-minute consultation. If you have 2 points, you can get an in-person consultation. Now, the way that you get those points, you have to go to my website and certain items that you buy come along with points that you can get up to, right? Let's say 100 points. So you buy this item, right, this digital asset, and this one that you hold in your wallet comes with 50 points. The other one comes with 25 points. The other one comes with another 25 points. So now people are buying these points because they want to get the unlockable, which is the ability to get this consult. If I say buy NFT, the emotions, right, and a connotation and all of the news attached to an NFT is based upon its trading value, board a yacht, all of these different things. But if I say point, it's just a product that you pulling access to a service, right? Yeah. And I'm utilizing non-fungible tokens because it's the best way to track, right? When I'm doing, or SBTs, which is soulbound tokens, which people started rolling out, right? If they want lifetime membership where they can't trade at a movement, which I think is completely better than NFTs, it's getting directly to what is the value. So now you assess this thing from value rather than FUD. Right. The fear of missing out, the not FUD, but that's fear of certainty doubt, but the FOMO rather. So I think that by calling it, same thing with LaRussell. You see LaRussell, right? They got a platform where they were selling music. So let's say that music that he sold is an NFT. He don't have to ever say NFT. You buy my music. Most people are looking at the technology. They demonize the technology because the brand of it is being misused. But the technology is still as valuable as ever. So I think don't call it an NFT, and I think that the industry grows.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.